A good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. A shepherd that doesn't really take ownership of the sheep sees the wolf coming and runs away. He sees the lion, he sees the bear, and he just says, "It isn't worth it. I didn't sign up for this kind of danger, pain, and heartache." And he flees from danger. Others claim to be shepherds, but they only came to steal and kill and destroy. They are thieves. They are wolves in sheep's clothing. But a good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. He knows the sheep, and the sheep know him. A good shepherd is willing to sacrificially serve in order to protect and preserve the sheep. This morning is a special morning for us, because we're going to appoint men to be shepherds of the flock here at Redeemer Community Church. We've been informally functioning with the Council of Elders for about a year, but now that we've finalized our constitution and held a formal vote, Redeemer is formally setting apart Luke Newton, Marshall Asher, and me as elders of the church. As we read in Paul's letter to Titus earlier, there were elders in every town. Every church needs to have shepherds, spiritual leaders, men who are above reproach, faithful, leaders, humble, holy, self-controlled. Elders are needed to teach truth, to root out error, to help the church grow into the image of Jesus Christ, to help people overcome sin, to fight against false teaching, to care for the spiritually wounded and neglected. The church members corporately believe that Luke, Marshall, and I are called by God to serve our church in this way. We believe these men are qualified. These men all desire to serve. They're gifted to carry out this service. Doesn't mean there are no other men who are qualified as well, but these are the men that have been chosen to serve at this time. And so what I'd like to do this morning as we ordain our elders is to give a challenge to our elders and to our church from God's Word. And please turn to the book of 1 Peter. We've been studying the book of James in recent weeks, and 1 Peter is just one book to the right of James. So if you can find James, just turn slightly to the right. We'll be in 1 Peter chapter 5 this morning, and we will be reading verses 1 through 5. 1 Peter 5, verses 1 through 5. So I exhort the elders among you, as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Let's pray together as we begin today. God, our Father, I ask that you would bless this time. As we set apart men to serve your church, that your gospel might go forth, when we are first of all reminded of your glory that you have revealed in your salvation, that we who are sinners can be reconciled to a holy and righteous God, that you pour out your grace and mercy on your children because of your Son, Jesus Christ, who has paid the price for sin. And so, Lord, may we be a church that exalts your name. May we be a church that is faithful and bold to proclaim the truth of the gospel, to exalt the name of Jesus and what he has accomplished for us. Lord, I ask for this service that you would open our hearts to your truth, help us to understand, to apply it to our hearts and lives. Lord, I ask that you would give us encouragement and hope. For the one who is in sin, I ask that you would bring conviction and repentance, a turning from sin into righteousness. Lord, we thank you that you have given us your truth, your word, So bless us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, what do we mean by elders? That may be an unfamiliar term to some. In the New Testament, there are three words used to describe the leaders of God's people. And we actually see all three of those words in our passage this morning. The first word is presbyteros, which is where the Presbyterian Church, the form of government, got its name. And that's the word usually translated elder. The word can just literally mean older people, or it can refer more specifically to the spiritual leaders as it does in our text today. Even prior to the New Testament church, God's people used this concept of elders, sort of a ruling class made up of the old and the wise. And although elders in the spiritual sense can have the connotation of older men, we know that men as young as 30 served in elders in some of the pre-Christian communities. Paul's protege Timothy may have been even younger than that because Paul told him not to let people look down on him for his youthfulness. As best we can tell, men called elders were the spiritual leaders in all the local churches of the early church. And in our text today, we see this word used twice in verse 1. So I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder. That's the word presbyteros, elder. The second word used of elders is poimen, which translates into Latin as pastora, and we get our word pastor from the Latin translation of the Greek word poimen. However, if we just skip that Latin translation, poimen just means shepherd. That's what the Latin word pastora means, is shepherd. The King James Version of the Bible was one of the first translations, not the first, but one of the first translations of the Bible into English, and it was certainly probably the most influential English translation in history, and they were the ones who translated poimen using the word pastor in Ephesians 4:11. King James Version also translated a number of Old Testament texts using pastor, and pastor became part of the common language of the church. Even today, a number of translations still use pastor in Ephesians 4:11, and that word pastor is probably the most common name for church leaders in our country today. It came from those translations, but the underlying meaning is still shepherd. And outside of those texts about church leaders, all translations translate the word as shepherd. This word can take the form of a noun, as in a shepherd, the person who tends to the sheep, or it can take the form of a verb, as in shepherd the flock. And we actually see this word in both forms in our text today. In verse 2, we see shepherd the flock as a verb. And as a noun in verse 4, it's actually a hyphenated word, when the chief shepherd appears. The third word used for leaders of the church is episkopos, from which we get the Episcopalian form of church government, the Episcopal Church. When used as a noun, episkopos is commonly translated as bishop or overseer. As a verb, this word is translated to oversee, to exercise oversight. And we see this word used in the middle of verse 2. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight. Now these three terms are all used interchangeably in Scripture, as in our text today, and thus it seems clear all three words refer to the same group of men whom we tend to call elders. And again, in our culture, often pastors. And these are the spiritual leaders of the church, men who are appointed by God's church to serve God's church, men whom God has appointed to serve as the spiritual leaders of the church. And as we look at our text today, we will see how elders are to function in the life of the church. Peter gives three challenges to two groups today. First, a challenge to elders, shepherd the flock. Second, a challenge to church members, submit to the elders. Third, a challenge to everyone, be humble towards each other. Let's begin with that first challenge. Elders, shepherd the flock. Look down in your Bibles at verse 1. So I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. And then here's the instruction. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you. Elders, shepherd the flock. This is the purpose for which we are being appointed, shepherd the flock. Now notice that Peter is both a teacher and a participant here. He is exhorting or challenging the elders to shepherd the flock, but he is exhorting as a fellow elder. Peter is saying, I am one of you. He has authority as an apostle of God, but he comes alongside as a brother, perhaps setting the example for how elders ought to relate to the members of the church. Peter also presents his case as one who served with Christ and witnessed his sufferings on earth. Christ set the example for us of enduring suffering for the joy that was set before him. Jesus entrusted himself to God the Father in his suffering. And I think Peter mentions the suffering of Christ because elders will likewise suffer on this earth. People will condemn you for teaching what Scripture says. You will pour your life into people and then watch them walk away from the church. You will endure personal abuse from people who you have cared for and sacrificed for. You will weep with people who have experienced great loss. You will grieve with people at the devastation of sin. There is much suffering. And in light of our own suffering, we need to be reminded of the suffering of Christ. Christ suffered and persevered. But Peter doesn't just leave it at the suffering. Peter reminds the elders they have a share of future glory at Christ's return, a glory yet to be revealed. There is suffering for those who are servants of Jesus Christ, but there is glory to come. There is great joy in serving Jesus Christ. And the joys of serving Christ far outweigh any of the sufferings. The glory is far greater than the sorrow. And based on all these things, Peter says, shepherd the flock of God that is among you. Shepherd the flock. This is the fundamental command to elders, shepherd the flock. And when we hear that elders are to shepherd the flock, we cannot help but think of Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, certainly that psalm applies quite uniquely to the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep, but the principles apply to all who would shepherd God's flock. A shepherd provides for the needs of the flock. A shepherd gives a place of safety and peace and rest to the sheep. A shepherd offers nourishment to the sheep. A shepherd leads the sheep towards that which is good. The shepherd anoints the sheep. The sheep fear no evil in the presence of the shepherd. The sheep have no enemies that the shepherd will not protect them from. A shepherd guides the sheep into the house of God to worship him. As a shepherd tenderly cares for the sheep, so elders are deeply concerned for the spiritual well-being of their people. This is what an elder must do to shepherd the sheep. Elders are to shepherd God's flock. Elders encourage those who are downcast. Elders challenge those who are in sin. Elders teach and train God's people in God's truth. Elders set the example of righteousness. Elders protect your people from error. Elders preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Teach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Point people to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Live in light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Elders, shepherd the flock. Lead, guide, protect, provide, nourish, cherish, nurture, treasure, convict, convince, uplift, point people to Jesus Christ. Make much of Jesus Christ. When elders shepherd the flock, the church will grow, unbelievers will be confronted by the gospel, and the name of Jesus will be exalted. Now notice how this first phrase of verse 2 ends, shepherd the flock of God that is among you. First, it is the flock of God that is to be shepherded. It is not my flock. It is not your flock. Now, certainly, any of us can refer to Redeemer Community Church as my church, in the sense that it's the church I'm a member. But it is not the church that I own, in any sense. It is God's church, God's people. So we're to shepherd as God instructs and guides. It is the flock of God. Second, we are to shepherd the flock of God that is among you. The flock of God consists of people from every tribe, nation, tongue, language. And in one sense, every Christian has a responsibility to help other Christians, to care for them. But elders are called specifically to care for the flock that is among us. But there are a lot of churches in this city. There are many great churches. But I'm not specifically called to shepherd the flock of God at Believers Fellowship. I'm not called to shepherd the people at Grace Community Church downtown, or Park Hills Baptist Church, or Mission Church up the road. Elders are called to shepherd God's flock that is among them. The people here in our church, most specifically the members of our church, we are called to shepherd this flock. Elders, shepherd the flock of God that is among you. Next it says, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight. Exercise oversight. Elders are called to lead the church, to exercise authority. Paul, in his letter to Timothy, refers to the elders who rule well. Elders are called to rule the church, to point the church in a Godward direction, to make decisions, to lead, to guide, to battle against error and fight for truth. Elders have to make sure that wrong fails and right prevails in the church. Elders are called to lead, to rule in the church. Exercise oversight. Elders have to make decisions for the church regarding the spiritual direction of the church. How will we reach our city for the gospel? How should we spend our money to accomplish God's kingdom purposes? Where should we be located? What kind of building do we need to serve our needs? How will we help our people grow in their walk with God? How will this church body exalt the name of Jesus Christ? How are we to meet the needs of our church? How will we teach our little ones about the glory of God? The elders are called to determine the vision for the church for how we are going to carry out God's mission to make disciples of all nations. How do we fuel a passion for the supremacy of God in all things? The elders must lead the church to accomplish God's will in all these areas. Elders, exercise oversight. And now Peter gives us three contrasting perspectives on what shepherding and exercising oversight should look like and what they should not look like. First, elders should exercise oversight, shepherd not under compulsion, but willingly as God would have you. No one should feel forced to be an elder. You are not obligated to be an elder. If you're only serving as an elder because you feel compelled to do it, the Apostle Peter frees you to do something else. Do not serve under compulsion. If the sufferings are too great, the weight is too heavy, you cannot endure the challenges of being an elder, Peter says, don't serve under compulsion. We learned in the book of James just a few weeks ago that not many should become teachers because teachers will come under stricter judgment. So don't feel coerced into being an elder. On the other hand, elders are to serve willingly. The Apostle Paul told Timothy that those who desire the office of overseer desire a good thing. It is in many ways a joy to be an elder. One ought to be an elder for the joy it brings in serving God. The joys make all the sorrows fade away. God wants elders to serve not under compulsion, but willingly. Second, elders should shepherd and exercise oversight not for shameful gain, but eagerly. In any organization of any kind, there will be people who take advantage of their position and their people. They'll enrich themselves at the expense of the mission. And while we might wish that that couldn't happen in God's church, we would be mistaken. Elders have in many places embezzled funds or sought dishonest gain. Paul told Timothy, false teachers would imagine that godliness is a means of gain. just turn on TBN and you can watch people teach that falsely all day long. Of course, it's easy to point the fingers at the Creflo Dollars of the world, who last week asked for $60 million for a new jet. He did later back off that request because of some unreasonable backlash. But there are plenty of men who receive less gaudy amounts of money and yet still are taking advantage of their people. You must not become an elder for the sake of financial gain. You do not serve in order to become rich. Your service ought to give far more than it gets. Now, certainly there are churches who take advantage of their pastors by underpaying them, but there are likewise pastors who take advantage of their churches. Elders are supposed to shepherd the flock, not fleece the flock. Instead, elders ought to serve eagerly. Eager not for money, but eager to serve Jesus Christ. Genuine leaders are eager for the work. The leaders of God's church do not lead because they have to or for the sake of money, but out of enthusiasm for God and his church. Shepherd not for shameful gain, but eagerly. Third, elders should shepherd and exercise oversight, verse 3, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. Not domineering over those in your charge. Some translations say not lording it over those entrusted to you. All right, there's a kind of exercising oversight where elders make unreasonable demands of the church. You may have heard people use the term spiritual abuse. Elders who oppress their people, who hold them to unbiblical standards, who make demands of them that they have no right to make, who even demean and attack their own people. Elders are not to be oppressors, but examples. Elders are to be the model of good works to their people. Elders do not seek to control their people, but to demonstrate in their own lives the kind of life that God has called us to live. Now, to be fair, there is sometimes a fine line between lording and leading. Elders are supposed to fight against heresy, against false doctrine. It is the job of God's people of elders to call God's people away from sin and to lives of righteousness to serve God's kingdom. And there are times when it is difficult to distinguish between giving a strong challenge to do what is right and, on the other hand, giving an unwarranted confrontation over personal preference. But there is a line. And Peter says, elders must not be domineering, but examples. Jesus taught his disciples that the leaders of the unbelieving world lord it over their followers, but whoever wishes to be great in Jesus' kingdom will be known as a servant, as a slave. We are to follow the example of the Son of Man, who came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Elders, do not domineer over the flock, but be the example. Verse 4, and when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Jesus is the chief shepherd, and everything the elders do, we do looking forward to the return of the chief shepherd. There is eternal reward for the shepherds who shepherd according to the design of the chief shepherd. By calling this crown an unfading crown, Peter's contrasting it with the leafy crowns that were given to champions in athletic competitions and victors in war. Those withered and faded over time. Instead, we're promised an unfading crown of glory that will never pass away. And so we look forward to the coming of the chief shepherd. In the book of Revelation, we see that the chief shepherd will bring rest to his people. Listen to this promise for those who've come out of great tribulation. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd. And he will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. The Lamb of God is going to gather his people and be the perfect shepherd for them. there is glory to come for God's faithful servants. So this is the challenge for elders. Elders, shepherd the flock of God. Shepherd God's people. Shepherd the church. There is a second challenge to a second church, a second group. Church members submit to the elders. Church members submit to the elders. Verse 5, likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Be subject to the elders. Submit yourself to the elders. In this context, it's quite clear that Peter is speaking to the elders of the church. It's grammatically possible that Peter has changed focus and is just talking about older people, but that doesn't really fit the context here. Peter gives all these challenges to the elders about shepherding the flock, and then he speaks to this second group and tells them to submit to the elders. But who are the younger that Peter says are supposed to submit to the elders? One option is that Peter's specifically speaking to the younger people in the church as opposed to the older people. So young people submit to the elders of the church. And those who argue for this view tend to explain that young people are less likely to be submissive than older people. Now, I must say that's not my personal experience. People who are willing to submit generally submit no matter their age, and people who are not willing to submit generally do not submit regardless of age. More likely, Peter is just making a contrast to the elders. If you're not an elder, then you're a younger in the spiritual sense. So you who are not elders, submit to the elders. Church members, submit to your elders. Turn to the book of Hebrews. It's just two books to the left. Hebrews chapter 13. We're going to read Hebrews 13, verse 17. Hebrews 13, verse 17. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. So God calls the members of the church to submit to the leaders of the church. Obey the elders for this reason. They are keeping watch over your souls as those who must give an account to God. So submit to the elders, obey the elders so that they may have joy in their leadership. If elders are called to exercise oversight, not lording it over but being examples to the church, then the reverse is that the church is called to submit to the elders. Now, as with any call to submit, there are limitations to the requirement to submit. The first limit is you're called to submit to the elders of your church. You don't have to submit to the elders of just any church. Just as elders are not responsible to shepherd people from other churches, you don't have to submit to elders of those other churches. Second limit, you're not called to submit if you're asked to sin. Now, it is extremely rare that elders would actually require a person to sin, but I am sure it has happened, and you would be free in that case to disobey, because you must obey God rather than man. Third limit, you're not required to submit to the elders in areas outside the jurisdiction of the elders. So if we have lunch sometime and you tell me about your business, I might give you my thoughts about your business. But I have no right to tell you how to run your business other than to tell you to do your business with integrity and uprightness, working to please God rather than men. But if you want to sell pink toys instead of blue toys, that is your choice and not mine. It is within the realm of the church that God calls the church to submit to the elders, to obey the elders. We've tried to write our founding documents of this church in a way that clarifies this distinction. We expect all of our church to hold firmly to our affirmation of faith. It's a broad evangelical statement of faith. On the other hand, we do not require you to believe everything that is in our elders' teaching statement. We hold very firmly to the central truths of the Christian faith. We hold more loosely to secondary doctrine. We will seek, by example and by teaching, to point our people away from sin and toward righteousness. We will not make commands of things that are merely our own preference. And I should note that submitting does not mean you cannot ask questions. It does not mean you cannot humbly ask why, that you can't ask for an explanation. There's a place for respectful discourse. And the key to submission is not thinking you can never discuss anything, but having the general attitude of being quick to submit, willing to submit when the conversation is over. There are some people who challenge every decision made. That's certainly not the attitude of submission. On the other hand, there are people who grudgingly accept all decisions, but don't have an attitude of submission at all, and grumble the entire time. The right perspective is to be willing to submit, trusting God to work through those whom he has appointed. And the proof of your ability to submit lies in what you do when you disagree with those in authority. Do you submit when you disagree? Or do you just either refuse to submit or go find new leaders? Eventually, I will find those righteous leaders that I can submit to. The 21st church is going to be the right one. God calls the church to submit to the elders. Now, before we go on, I want to acknowledge this is difficult. There are many church members throughout history who have been wrongly commanded to submit when they're not required to submit, where elders have lorded it over their members. On the other hand, there have been many church members in history who have failed to submit when they ought to have obeyed. And probably in many of those cases, when elders believed members were being unsubmissive, church members believed elders were being oppressive, and vice versa. But the general principle is clear. Church members, submit to your elders. Third challenge, this really connects the two. Everyone, be humble toward each other. Everyone, be humble toward each other. This is the middle of verse 5. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So if we have correctly identified the younger and the elder at the beginning of verse 5 as the church members and the elders, Peter is now speaking to both groups combined. Everyone, elders and non-elders, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. All right, elders, clothe yourselves with humility towards church members and towards other elders. Church members, clothe yourselves with humility towards the elders and towards other church members. Let no one think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but with sober judgment. Put away pride, put on humility toward each other. Elders, act with humility toward the rest of the flock. Remember that although you are called to lead the flock, you are not above the flock. You're only serving at the will of the chief shepherd, and you still are a member of the flock. There's no place for pride toward the flock, no place for feelings of superiority. No, lead the church with humility. Elders, act with humility toward the other elders. Elders, do not lord it over each other. Elders, acknowledge our own weaknesses and failings, our frailty. None of us should believe that we are the perfect example of doctrine and practice. Elders, put on humility. Those who are not elders, put on humility toward the elders. Recognize that in God's will, he placed these elders in this church at this time. The elders will make mistakes, probably far more than you're willing to accept. But you can still humbly submit to them because God is the one who's called elders. Respond humbly to the elders. Those who are not elders, put on humility toward each other. And if you're on your high horse about something, just climb right back down with the rest of us. Do not view yourself as better or more important than other members. Do not view yourself as more righteous, more faithful, more generous. Be willing to serve, willing to care, willing to pour your life for your brother and sister in Christ. Consider others as more important than yourself. Everyone, put on humility toward each other. There are no super saints in the church. Elders sit on the exact same ground as the rest of the members of the church. The members of the church all stand equal with the elders and everyone else in value and worth. The oldest, most mature Christian still needs God's grace just as much as the brand new believer. The ground is level at the foot of the cross. God has given different roles to different people at different times, but that does not make anyone more important, more significant, more valuable than anyone else. God simply calls us to be faithful with the role that he has given us. So let us all put on humility toward each other. And then Peter explains why. Because, for God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. God opposes those who are proud, but he gives grace to those who are humble. When we stand in pride, God will humble us. But when we humbly approach God, he will lift us up. God humbles the arrogant, but he exalts the humble. God is in high and exalted places. And do you know where else God is? With the humble. Let us clothe ourselves, all of us, with humility. Everyone, be humble toward each other. Well, as Jesus was leaving this earth to return to the Father, he gave his disciples a mission. He said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Jesus accomplished his mission on earth. Christ died for our sins. He was buried. He was raised on the third day. And as a result, God has given Jesus all authority in heaven and on earth. And Jesus gave us this mission, the church. This is our mission, to go into the world and make disciples of all nations. We have this glorious task to tell people they can be forgiven of their sin if they will trust in Jesus Christ. Because Jesus has paid the price. They can be given life from the dead because Jesus died in their place. You can be given life because Jesus died for sinners like me and like you. So elders shepherd the flock to accomplish this mission. Church, submit to the elders. Everyone, be humble toward each other. Let us all work together, hand in hand, to make disciples of Jesus Christ. That's the whole reason that we're put here on this earth, to make disciples and to glorify the name of Jesus. Let's pray together. God, our Father, we acknowledge that we are not worthy of the mission you have given us. We are not worthy of the calling with which we are called. Not one of us deserves to be saved. Not one of us deserves to be given your righteousness. And yet in your grace, in your great love with which you loved your people, you sent your own Son to earth to die to pay the price, so we might be forgiven. Our sins could be atoned for. The price has been paid. So Lord, may we as a church be faithful to proclaim the gospel. Lord, help the elders of this church to lead this church in righteousness. May the church submit in ways that honor you. And may all of us act with humility towards each other, knowing that our goal is not about building ourselves up or even about building our little church. Our goal is to build your kingdom. Our goal is to make your name known and exalted, praised and worshiped. So Lord, may we be a faithful people. And give us wisdom and discernment. Give us insight that we might lead our people to honor you. In Jesus' name, amen.